Jeff. Jeff Stein's our usual Wednesday visit. Of course, you can. We go to him for national and presidential news. You can find his books over at Next Chapter Books, as well as also totallyiowa.com. The Iowa Business Report he puts out daily down in Iowa, as well as the Iowa Politics Report at KXEL, Cedar Falls, Waterloo. Hi, Jeff.
Can I tell just a very quick behind-the-scenes story?
Sure.
It'll help humanize you to the audience. So here... You know, I mean, this is the time, and you know, during the break, I hear commercials, and I can also hear you.
Yes.
And in, you know, normally you're a very smooth broadcaster. There's no panic in Matt McNeil's voice. He can handle anything after, you know, 50 years in the business. And wow. What do I hear? Do we have the Jeff song? We've got to have the song. I smiled. I'm so grateful. Because it's not an official visit unless we have the song.
What people don't know is I run this show like a freaking dictator.
Oh, I think they know. I think they've got a pretty good clue.
Like Edrigan or Putin, this show does what I day, damn it. Oh, no.
It was just perfect because it's like, oh my gosh, we've got to have, I appreciate it greatly.
We started
I'm
about
serious,
it.
I appreciate it.
We started about 6 weeks ago and now it's, I can't ever not have that. That's going to be it with us forever. So I have to admit that we were going to talk about Biden first. Oh, but why not Rudy Giuliani? I got to be surprised. I was kind of surprised they didn't raid his house after the Borat film. Cause let's just be honest. That was pretty damn disturbing what he did in that film. And
they were afraid of what they'd find at that point. It was still too recent. There's kind of a health issue here, isn't there?
He's in trouble, and there's a report that just came on out. Apparently, there is a grand jury that has been subpoenaed. They impaneled a grand jury, and they're issuing subpoenas right now. Not only was Giuliani's house raided, but another ally of his who was behind this whole Ukraine attempt to smear Biden's son through Ukraine, they've been there. And a lot of it has to do with, was it John Solomon, the columnist that used to be with The Hill? He was the point person that was screaming on the Hill about how there was these demands coming from Biden about investigations and stuff like this, and that they were really bad people. He was making it up. And as a matter of fact, even the Hill did an investigation and they parted ways, a.k.a. they fired him. Solomon has been is kind of the point person. He was the connector to these questionable figures in Ukraine. You know, Giuliani was the one that brought them here and then put them out for the media. And frankly, this does look like it's trouble for Giuliani.
One thing I have heard from the right so far today is they're only you can start laughing now.
Okay,
I'll hope to get through it with a straight face.
Okay,
they're saying, well, they're only doing this because they want to distract people from Hunter Biden.
Of course.
Okay, now. Let's just let that kind of, fester. But even if that were true, that's not. But okay, let's just go with even if that were true, you can't get a search warrant against someone who is at any level, but certainly not a former federal prosecutor, a former private attorney to a president. You can't get a search warrant without a certain amount and a heavy amount of material to justify it. No judge is going to sign that. So I don't care if you say that this is just to take the eye off of the Hunter Biden ball. The fact is they got a search warrant, and those are not given out of vending machines for a quarter.
The reality is if people on the left are hoping this will end up in more trouble for Trump, Giuliani is a loyal soldier. He'll fall on the sword if they've got him dead to rights here. I have zero doubt of that. But what this does show is that all these people, it becomes more difficult for the Republicans in the Congress who championed these stories against Hunter Biden. And I'm not talking necessarily about Lauren Boberts or the Marjorie Taylor Greens. I'm talking about, you know, the Jim Jordans, the Lindsey Grahams. I mean, these guys that actually, you know, are more senior members of the House and Senate who were staking their reputation on this being true, demanding investigations. You know, it's going to be one of those things where it's going to be very hard for them from here on out. I mean, if this goes the way it looks like it's going, they're going to try to distance, and they'll insist, well, I never said it was real. I just thought it was worth looking at. But the reality, this is ugly. I mean, this is basically, you know, you have, you know, Trump's lawyer working with a foreign agent to basically discredit his political opponent in an election and his political opponent's son in an election. And yeah, that's, if they've got that dead to rights, there's going to be some jail time with this one.
Well, here's the thing. As a lawyer, I am not just compelled to point out, but I think it's very important to point out, just because there's a search warrant doesn't mean there is anything automatically wrong. It means there's enough there to lead to an investigation. So again, no charges. We don't know what it is. We don't know that he's the target. That's the other thing to keep in mind.
It could be Solomon.
It could be that he has possession of material that could implicate others. But if he was acting as their attorney, well, now you've got a little different issue. I mean, remember the Michael Cohen situation. He was a target unrelated to anything with Trump. If they simply had gone in and said, we want your privileged information as Trump's lawyer, that can't be breached. But when they're able to then get it, in essence, through the back door because they discover it as they're looking for other things, okay, now you have a different story. So is Rudy the target? Don't know. But the fact that you're seizing his electronics at home and at work because you're trying to decipher, you know, the digital breadcrumbs, it's a big deal. He may be totally innocent. He may just have information. Regardless, it's a big, big deal. And sloughing it off saying, as I also heard somewhere today, oh, it's the Biden Justice Department going after political enemies. Okay, fine. You still had to get a judge. I'm weary of that argument as well. I said, okay, fine. You still have to get a judge to sign the warrant. So there's something there. We can't, you know, totally jump to conclusions, but it ain't a good day in Giuliani land. And then his idiot. I'm sorry. His son.
No, idiot. Yeah, you were. No. I think the legal term, it was correct on the first one.
He's never going to get past the, you know, you remember when Rudy was sworn in as mayor and his whatever he was, 8, 10, I don't know, 22-year-old son was pretending he was the one taking the oath. He was acting up, you know, and everybody said, what? Okay, fine. Well, now he's talking about running for these jobs. He was just in rehearsal mode. I don't know what it is about some of these families where it's like, well, dad was this, so I get to be it too. It's not a fiefdom, crying out loud.
It is kind of a little like Trump, where I think that there might have been some ideas that the rest of this family was going to run and control politics, for like the Bush family did for 10 years. But the reality is, it's as we get further away from the Trump presidency, you know, the brand is tarnished, and it's tarnishing fast. So it's kind of like Giuliani. I mean, he was looking at, oh, great, I can go. I got a chance at winning in New York. And now I think it's becoming a lot more difficult for him to be able to get past it. Although in New York, you know, a little crime never hurts anyone as a candidate. Let's just be honest.
Well, and what about the younger Giuliani's Newsmax gig?
Yeah.
I know you set your DVR so you can watch it over and over, but the point is, I don't know that, you know, how's he going to be able to come on?
Well, you know,
loss to journalism.
Channel 666 on my cable system. Eddie, sorry.
No, it's all fine.
It's the time of the year, every 4 years, I get reminded of the lecture you gave me, I think it was 8 years ago, or excuse me, 12 years ago, where it's not the State of the Union speech, it's just a DC roundup, because the first one is not called the State of the Union, correct?
Yeah, and that is absolutely correct, because the new president, in essence, new guy, new gal, how are they supposed to know the State of the Union? And in fact, It wasn't until Franklin Roosevelt that it was even called the State of the Union by Congress. Okay, so, I mean, you know, the name is not important. What is important is that it is the first time that this president will be standing, addressing the nation in prime time before a joint session of Congress, albeit only a third of them actually present. It's still going to look, this is the key point, it is still going to look the same on television. It is still going to sound the same on my radio station. And if you're watching it on television, it's the president, and by the way, for the first time ever, two females sitting behind him.
Yes.
Which so, I mean, this is a you know, all the Republicans are hoping that he'll drool, et cetera. You know, we've talked about this for a year. Every time they've said, oh, we can hardly wait to debate Joe Biden, he was fine. Oh, you know, when he gets up there to give a speech, he's going to follow. No, he's fine. He's going to be fine. And that's one of the keys. Many people have tuned out. They have lives. They're not like us following this all the time. They have real lives. Well, you have far more one than I do. But the point is, people may flip on the TV, and this will be the first time they've seen him, in essence, since January 20th.
Mm-hmm.
And what's he going to be trying to do? Sell a very big family-first plan. And that is huge. Because, again, who cares if there's nobody in the chamber? It's what you see on the screen, and again, the image of those behind him. Nobody's ripping up a script tonight. I can guarantee you that.
And by the way, it should not be just skip past by any means the fact that, yeah, Kamala Harris and Nancy Pelosi are going to be sitting behind him. The only thing that's going to be more, I think, substantial is when you have three women up there, which will be, I don't think, is going to be actually before too long, if you want to know the truth. I think one of the things that is amazing, and and we're going to get to this a little bit later on as regards to the Republicans' desperate attempts to go after Biden. But the reality is in his first 100 days, granted, the country was in a rough place when he took over. So basically turning on a light switch was going to look impressive. But the fact that
in Texas especially at that
time. But you know, when you look at, you know, he comes into office and from Trump's own CDC and Health and Human Services Department, there was no vaccine. There was no plan to distribute vaccine. There was no infrastructure in place to distribute vaccine. He got this all up and running. We got a ways to go, but right now we have become the most vaccinated country on the planet. We have other countries begging us for vaccine. He's being even presidential there, saying he's going to get some of one of the vaccines he's going to give to some of these other countries. You know, he's also had the most jobs created in his first 100 days in the history of the country. But once again, starting at a low point, sure, but he was able to pull that off. The economy, which everyone said was going to tank the second Trump left, is going better than it ever did under Trump. It's still going. And I'm the first one to say that there's an inertia effect with this. But when Trump took office, he said that inertia effect didn't exist. So I'm going to just hold that to the same standard with Biden. This is Biden's economy then. But the reality is he has done a very good job. And it becomes to a point a nightmare for Republicans, because all this is, as you said, the chance for people to see him and get reminded, oh, yeah, just in 100 days, things are a lot better in this country.
Obviously, the vaccines had been ordered and paid for prior to President Biden taking over. But you have to get them to the people. And there are a lot of folks who are, yes, Republican, but I think a little more objective about things, who say, you know, if Biden simply gets up and says, we've done however many 100 million vaccines, and I want to acknowledge that the government before I took over got that vaccine going, and then just moves on, right? Acknowledges that the world did not begin January 20th. These people matter, saying if he makes that little comment, it totally undermines Republicans. Because they can't then say that Biden is coming up with fiction. I mean, if he acknowledges that the vaccine was being produced and he, in fact, got his first shot before he took office, which he very publicly did, it takes away their argument. And so it's a small little thing. I don't see it in the transcript that I was sent of what we're going to see tonight, but it makes your point about how this is difficult for Republicans. I don't know that most citizens cared who gets credit for the vaccine. They either want it or they don't want it, right? I mean, and it didn't matter who the president was then, and it doesn't matter who the president is now. But they are going to know how they feel, and they're going to feel safer, healthier. We can go see people. Mm-hmm. Economy's picking up. Now, granted, a lot of the economy, the juice in the economy is through stimulus, but it's still juice in the economy, right? My 401k is still doing just fine.
And Biden was making the point that we're not going to kickstart this economy by basically just hoping it kickstarts. We got to do this. And that was part of his whole stimulus plan. So
again, it gets to the point that it does make it difficult for a Republican, right? Because, and that actually is, it's what works against Trump running again. Now, that's all ego-driven. And it's beyond, good conversation today, but the fact is he's got to have everything be absolutely in the gutter. It's got to just be the worst in every respect so he can then say, here I am to save it. Because if it's just bumping along, he's not the best choice for the party to, in essence, save it, because it's not there to be saved, you see. So this is one of these things where Republicans are, well, we'd kind of like Biden to do a little better, because then maybe we don't have to deal with Trump in 2024. Maybe he goes away.
And reminder, Trump was, they used the deficit, basically pretty much only the deficit, how bad the deficit was, which is kind of a joke now in 2016, to say we could do so much better, and that's how he got Trump. I mean, he's not going to be able, if this continues, to compete with this. I think it also hurt Trump. It helps Biden, hurts Republicans more that there were countries that were managing this crisis far better than us. Not all of them. I mean, Britain was a nightmare. You've got, right now, India, Brazil are a nightmare. But you've got some. I mean, and then granted, New Zealand is not the United States. But at least there were a lot of countries like Canada where it looked like competent people were in charge. It looked like people were trying. And let's just face it, ever since the election, well, in the week after the election, when they officially called it for Biden, Trump basically quit. His only concern was basically trying to get that rally going on 1-6. When that failed, you really didn't see him at all. And then he storms out of the White House and heads on off to Mar-a-Lago. I mean, that the reality is that the reason why Biden looks so good is because Trump managed this so bad.
You just made such an excellent point. I know we've mentioned it before, but you made such an excellent point. Once it set in with President 45 that he had, he was out of quarters, game over.
Yeah.
And you can't say, you don't blame somebody for kind of crawling in their shell, but you still had the job to do. You can't just be, Mr. Pouty Face.
Yes.
You've got to still take care of business. Not showing up at the inauguration, who cares? The stuff on January 6th, yeah, we do care. And in that respect, it was best to go away. But I'm talking about before that. And holy cow. It was just kind of like, well, the vice president took off for a ski vacation in Colorado and nobody knew for a week, which may tell you something about the job of vice president. I don't know. But it's Biden has the opportunity to yet again dispel Republican narrative. Because, yes, I can show you all these clips where he doesn't seem stable. You could also see clips of me tripping over my shoelace, all right? But what's important is when hundreds of millions of people are watching TV, maybe rubbing a sore arm from a vaccine, that they were able to get to where now states are refusing vaccine because so many people, rushed in and got it, and now we have this surplus that we're going to need for the booster shots coming up later on this year. Mm-hmm. So again, this is what's going to be really interesting is the image he presents. And to me, it's about performance, because if you're a hardcore right winger, nothing he says is going to be right. If you're a hardcore left winger, he can just lay the speech on the platform and say Biden out, and you're going to say it was a wonderful bit of oratory.
Yeah.
But it's that image for those in between, Matt, that really is the focus for tonight.
Now, for the far left is not as big a fan of Biden as you think they are. It's more of the Clinton and Obama Democrats that love Biden, for sure.
Let me ask you quickly, because I know you need to take the break, but what do you make of Congresswoman Ocasio-Cortez and her comments about how Biden was much more progressive than she thought? Does that give him some cover with that wing of the party?
It does, because I'll tell you what, we'll take a break. When we come on back, I'll explain exactly where I think where Biden and Ocasio-Cortez merge. I'll tell you where that comes in. Also, I got to talk about the latest Republican strategy of taking down Biden. Jeff Stein joining us, 952-946-6205. It's the Matt McNeil Show right here on AM 950. AM 950, the progressive voice of Minnesota. It's the Matt McNeil Show. Jeff Stein joining us. Jeff, what you're seeing there is that's Biden's Catholicism. Because, reminder, I mean, if you do like the, you know, like a lot of Catholics do, and I'm Catholic, you know, feed the hungry, shelter the homeless, take care of the sick. That's stuff that really resonates with liberals. And I think so there's where that crossover happens. There are some things that obviously kind of, you know, as far as tax breaks and the amount of people we're going to allow to immigrate into the United States. I mean, some of those issues have not gone well with the liberals, but it's where when Biden really embraces kind of some of those Catholic principles that really a lot of the liberals like that.
Well, I totally agree. And I totally agree that her saying what she did in the rather organic and honest way that she did, I think that gives him a lot of help. Yes, there are plenty of in the progressive wing who say, look, we have an opportunity and we may not have it after 2022 because the margins are what the margins are. So we really got to push everything right now. Mm-hmm. But I tell you, someone like her, Congresswoman Ocasio-Cortez, I'm talking about, someone like her who's saying, you know what, we should be very pleased with what we have. I think that does help him a huge amount at this point, 100 days in.
Absolutely. All right. So the Republican strategy right now. Friday, Fox News runs a story that's just false that says the University of Michigan study is actually Biden's policy that you're going to have one hamburger a month, which then, of course, every Republican runs with for 2 days before then he has to apologize. You just had the story out of the New York Post, the Murdoch periodical, where they basically the story was a lie. The reporter was actually resigned because she was forced to write the story that said that Kamala Harris's book was being given into every immigrant child that was coming into the country. It's just an outright lie. And it seems like because Biden has done so well in this first 100 days, that this is what the Republicans are left with, making up an outright lie, running with it for a news cycle or two days, and then basically having to admit, yeah, we made it up.
And the thing is, all they have to do to rally the base is tell the accurate story. Because if you don't agree with the president's policies, you don't agree with the proposals in Congress, you don't agree with the executive orders, just state what they are.
Yeah.
Because that will rally the base enough. Sometimes people can't get out of their own way. And there's no need to take it to this level when you then undermine everything else that you might say going forward. It's just silliness.
It is. And, you know, it's as you brought up earlier with kind of his supporters, you know, you find out that, you know, QAnon more than likely was Ron Watkins, the son of the guy that ran 8chan. But yet it's just this is how they talk to the masses right now, is by doing the narrative validation.
And it's really scary. I don't talk to very many people, but I have heard from some who do talk to folks, you know, folks just up and down the street, and they are buying a lot of this Steve Bannon stuff, and that's just scary that they're walking the street.
Jeff Stein, we'll spotlight this. We'll talk to you in 2 weeks, okay, my friend?
Good luck, sir.
Thank you very much. We'll talk to you later. Hour 2 up next.